Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Previously on the VFN Radio program.
It's just memory lane as we're talking about some things that happened in the past and, you know, having an adult, you know, fatherless son on a phone and yet reaching out for the next generation. And it was so cool. A lot of them, Derek was one of the boys that came on to, man, now he's a man. He's a man. And you can find him on the VFN Torch. You know, some of his segments are in highlights of him of sharing. But he's a father now, got kids and all that
amazing
stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's got the same smile and all. He was preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And another young man that was out there, he's a youth minister now. But then he was just a boy. But now he's a man, and he's a youth minister helping young people out and all. And there's all over the world. I remember when, you know, Amber was at IHOP Kansas City, the International House of Prayer, and she sat in a classroom. And she looked at the guy next door in a seat or whatever, and he starts talking to her, and she realizes that he was one of the participants during the 10-year period of going to the next step, you know, Outbound Father and Son Camp and Trust that we call them. And
amazing.
And it's just touched the world. And you know what? You know, if you're thinking about, you know, is what you're doing for the Lord significant? Nothing you do for God is in vain. Not one thing that you do for him is in vain.
Right.
But realize the most effective things that you do, you know, for him will be the most things that cause you to feel like it's insignificant, because, you know, society itself will make you feel that way. It'll make you feel like, you know, it's not good. And the truth is, it is good.
Mm-hmm.
It is good. And that's why the enemy's lying. He's a liar and he's a father of lies. Mm-hmm. So don't believe the lie. For example, when a kid says, hey, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear any kind of wisdom. What they're really saying is like, my life's falling apart and I don't want to humble myself, but I need everything that you're saying. Can you say in a way where it looks like I'm not actually having to listen to you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you got to read between the rebellion, right? You know, you think about this, that, you know, we want to talk about in just a minute about what's happening with the United Nations and Iran and all, but take a moment here. Dr. Dobson.
Mm-hmm.
He spent his entire life, you know, dedicated to studying the family. When you think about it, I mean, his ministry is called Focus on the Family. I mean, he studied marriage, he studied children, he studied John. And, just joking. And, I mean, if you're going to get any wisdom on how to raise children, it would be from Dr. James Dobson.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you think, well, he's gonna, you know, I mean, raising kids. I mean, not just, you know, having tenants called kids in your home. I'm talking about raising kids.
Big difference.
It's a big difference. Mm-hmm. You know, when you raise corn, that means there is no corn. You plant the seed and you raise it. It comes out of the ground. It produces something, and it's productive. That's called raising corn, right?
Right.
And, you know, there's a big difference in raising children versus having tenants that you tolerate. And it's the hardest thing you'll ever do, because you love, you know, parents love their kids so much, you know. And I've heard some lies about society. You know, they say, you know, society's problem is because it's all because of parents. And it's like, well, really? How could it be that way? I know parents that have tried everything that they could try. you know, a single mother or a single father or double parents. Everybody has an individual will, you know, and they blamed all society's problems on bad parenting, which explained that person.
Yeah. to the
T. Anyway, and so, you know, you're seeking Dr. James Dawson. He's going to tell us how to raise teenagers, right?
Right.
And let's just go buy Dr. Dobson's book and get his DVD. He wrote a book called Bringing Up Boys. He talks about, he said he had this like 20-foot rope, you know, tied to a tree. This is probably something that you would have done.
Probably.
Yeah. But, and he tied it, and he's going to jump out of the tree, and he's going to swing it with this rope, this 20-foot rope. But the problem was the branch that he tied it to was only 10 foot away from the ground.
Oh my God.
There was a 10-foot differential there. And
obviously he wasn't melancholy. He didn't measure it for
He didn't measure at all, you know. I think, you know, I think boys, though, young boys, no matter their personality, that frontal lobe is very important. It needs to develop. You know, you think it you know, anyway, so and so here's Dr. Dobson. You know, you're gonna find out what Dr. Dobson has to say. I mean, this is gonna be the secret, because obviously I must be doing everything wrong. And so I'm gonna go talk to the man who studied them. And this is what Dr. Dobson said. I mean, this, all those years, John, everybody, and this is what Dr. Dobson says, right? He goes, the teenage years, just get through them.
Thank you.
Just get through them. I'm like, can you expound on that?
Yeah,
they
really
last longer than that sentence, you know, just get through them. You know, I think about this. You know, it doesn't say, the Bible does not tell us, you know, how old Satan was when he rebelled against God. But I'm sure he was a teenager. Oh, my goodness. It's just real tough. You know, you're trying to find yourself as a teenager, and you're trying to get your own, but you're frustrated because you're still, you know, a suckling on your parents', you know, substance. But then you're saying, I am my own. It's hard to put your foot down when it lands in your parents'. Oh, it's a tough transition, you know. And if you have a father who loves you, you know, your father, and this is why the father's been emasculated and pulled out, but a father's going to say, well, it's just time for you to grow, boy. He was like,
that's right.
You'll figure it out. Go plant yourself in some dirt. You know, because he knows that the kid's going to have to kick in.
That's right.
But there's so many things interfering with the way fathers raise their kids today that, you know, what they call safety nets are destroying our children.
Huge.
You know, it would have been better for them to wallow in the mud a little bit, you know, and feed the pigs a little bit, you know, and the consequences of their decisions a little bit, than to run down there and give them a stimulus package so they could live in some place that kept them stuck in the mud, you know, for 10 years of their life. Right?
Yeah. You introduce them to two new friends, Sam and So Knight. Here you go.
Sam's
Sam and So Knight.
You're right. He's like, I'm leaving. Yes, baby, you're leaving. Well, your bags are already at the door. You know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but you know, just helping somebody, that's what God does to us.
Sure.
And that's what God does to us. And it's like, but the devil has so many things into our nation's fabric. And I have a lot of theories about that, and I have a lot of word of knowledge about that, but aren't talking about that much. But the it's all demonic when it comes time to anything interfering the way the father would raise his daughters and his sons, because God has innately put something inside that father or mother, you know, to be able to impart into them, you know, something that society that doesn't understand how God's designed us, that everything has to die first before it can become something. Everything has to, I mean, even the very, the egg inside of a woman, there is no doorway. It has to fight its way out. There is no, I mean, there's pain. A woman has pain in the process of bringing forth a child. Everything's, there's the brokenness of life and things that you just learn from that. But if you keep that away from somebody, they never learn. They just stay in this immature suckling state.
Yeah.
And the government just wants to be replace God. You know, one of the names for God is the breasty one.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, as you begin to cry out for God, provision comes from God. And the government wants to replace God and them to become the breasty one, where, right. you know, if you need something, we'll provide for you. If you need medical, we'll provide for you. If you need mm-hmm. provision, we'll provide for you. And all of a sudden, they don't cry out to God anymore.
Sure.
They cry out to government.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it was okay to cry out to God.
Right.
You know, and that's how God's designed things. And, you know, a child will never grow up despite them being 50 if they never learn to cry out to God. They never learn to turn to God and cry out. They're just stuck.
Right.
And they've never seen the provision. You talk a mother, a breastfeeding mother, that she could be across her house from a total different room. And as soon as that baby begins to cry, that God's designed the mother's body that instantly she will fill up with milk, ready to feed that baby. Wow. I mean, it just happens.
Wow.
And so the baby gets frustrated sometimes and doesn't nurse. And so she gets frustrated and says, listen, I have provision for you. You're just going to have to line up.
Mm.
And that's how God is. Like, God's going, I'm the one that's giving you the air and the substance. You got to cry out to me, but you can't just get it any way you want it. This is how you receive substance from me.
Mm.
And the mother just gets more provision and more provision, where she starts hurting because so much milk is dropped because the baby's crying produces provision in the mother. And listen, that's how God is. One of his names, one of the defined names of God, if you look at the definition, it means the breasty one, the provision of God, the substance of God. But you got to line up to get it. You can't just say, throw it over here, my well of rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to line up. If you're crying out to the right source, to God, you know, and going through the blood, which is Jesus' blood, and saying, listen, Lord, I need you. I mean, God's going to provide for you. But if you've provided for your kids every step of the way, now they're like 50, they've never got a chance to cry out to God and find out he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's such a strategy. You can see what how the enemy's using the government to take over the role of fathers, to take the role of family, take the role of God in all these different areas, and saying, we'll take care of you.
And because of that different or even become a warped perception, those that begin to take their hands off and allow their young people, the children they've been raising, to grow up and become the men and women, it's, you know, it's time to play the man, it's time to play the woman, it's time to do now. That could almost seem as if that was wrong to those people's eyes. How could you let them suffer? How could you let them, like, suffer? Who in America suffers when you think about it?
Right.
You know, who in America really suffers? You have children that were working so hard so many years ago as young children. You know, even in my own family, my grandmother, I remember stories her telling as a child working on the farms. And it's like, no one in America really can say that they truly suffer. We found out that we're in the richest percentile of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's through that suffering, it's through that going through, like you said, the pain, that we can actually learn.
Yeah.
But if we're looking back and looking for dependence upon a parent or anyone else but God, how are we going to make it?
And you look at you look at the people that's accomplished anything. If you listen to their life story, it consists of them going through pain. They were willing to go through the pain of the process to be able to arrive. I might have, you know, Tim Tebow's book sitting on my shelf, and to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, Brett gave me a picture of Tim when he was praying for the Denver Broncos. Thank you, Brett. And sitting there to remind me and have his DVD that, I mean, he didn't just happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's dragging tires, trees, pushing cars. I mean, he's aggressively going. I mean, he's got to be willing to tell himself no and tell himself yes at the right times and go through the process of all that. And we celebrate people who paid the price, but we complain when people are trying to encourage other people to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
How can you be trying to help me? You're having me drag a tire. Well, you said you wanted to be a Tim Tebow. You're going to have to drag a tire.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to deny yourself. You know, it's like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I'm going to have to deny myself. And it's the process.
Yeah. You know, they wrote a book called The Millionaire Next Door several years ago. And the whole idea was to study millionaires. And they wanted to find out, these marketers, these companies hired these marketers to find out, how does the average millionaire think in America? So they just took a person who had a net worth of about $1 million. And they realized some really interesting things, that the average millionaire The Millionaire Next Door was a person that actually worked very hard, didn't make this Hollywood money or whatever, this gobs amount of money. They lived below their means. They lived in a house that was below what they could actually afford. They drove American cars that, you know, their credit cards weren't, you know, American Express Black, you know what I mean? But they were actually, you know, just Visas or whatever. They had JCPenney cards and stuff like that. And so they started interviewing them. What they found out was one study was just about first generation people that came to the United States. They became so successful. And what they found out is that here's this working mom or dad who started a business here. They're working hard at their job. They rose the ranks. And now they've accumulated all this wealth. And yet they instead encouraged their children to do the very same thing that they did. They started buying them cars and sending them to colleges and propping them with all this, you know, stuff, thinking that that's how they're going to, you know, do well. And what they did was, you know, bring a dependent, you know, next generation. And so next generation is totally dependent on the parents that came on over, and is thinking, you know what? That's not how it needs to be. You know,
and now the government's saying, listen, as a matter of fact, you know, all the way up to the age 25 now, you can be on your parents' insurance policy. And it's like, he's married and he's got three kids and he's a soldier in Afghanistan. Why does he need to be, you know, right, that type of thing? It's like,
serious.
You're not grown up by 25. Come on.
Dude, it's half of 50.
Yeah, it's half of 50. And you look at our generations past, I mean, you know, that's half life.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, it's a strategy. It's a strategy for nobody to ever grow up. Nobody ever to cry out to God, and everybody to be kind of stuck in God not being the provider, but someone else being the provider for what's
good. The scriptures say that the laborer's appetite works for him. It drives him on. It's nothing like being hungry and needing to work. You know what I'm saying?
We'll be right back at this break. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something or heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people, I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God, you can go back and watch that on VFN TV maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ, you loved each other, you ate together, you blessed each other, you blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name. And it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation. And they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional. You know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me, so I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving. Serving, helping him or her carry that load. And I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week and it's a 24/7 thing. But there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be and let God lead you.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
So listen to this interview. He's talking about he has purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He has a purpose. And it's so important to talk about that because if Billy Graham, Reverend Billy Graham at 94, I keep saying that, at 94 can have a purpose, my goodness, it should really cause all of us to say, if you haven't found out what your purpose is, to say, what's my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
What is my purpose?
Absolutely.
And I love David, King David. David says in Psalm 139:13 says, for you created my inmost being and you knit me together. The Psalm says, I'm sorry, not David. The Psalm says, for you created me my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I mean, think about it. God knit you in your mother's womb.
Right.
Before the foundations of the earth, God knew you.
Right.
And I think so many times people think, you know, if you don't know God, that maybe I was an accident or there's all types of different scenarios that play out in people's life. But no one's an accident.
Nope.
No one's an accident.
Mm-mm.
You know, there is a purpose for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about when anything that you see, you know, in your everyday life, any type of product or whatever, you know, there had to be a purpose in mind before that product was ever created. You know, one of the things of living in this type of culture is everything is so fast that we run around and we do all these different things that we don't take the time to pause and realize, you know, I'm not the designer type of guy or the creator. So I'm really, you know, I'm more of the guy like, okay, this turns on like this. That's cool. You know?
Yeah, right.
But when you get into designing and creating things, you really begin to appreciate melancholies. You know what I'm saying? The detail, Chris, the detail was involved in this.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's how my mind works, really. I have to see it in my mind before I can actually bring it to pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I see things in pictures. I think a lot of men are probably like this way. Me personally, like when I had my business, I used to, you know, build a lot of things out of acrylic, you know, and I had to visually see it in my mind before I'd actually even put it on paper and begin to even build it.
Right.
You know, like podiums and aquariums and, you know, brochure holders and things like that. But it was, it's all visual.
Wow, and acrylic is like a
plastic. Plexiglass, yeah, it's a plastic.
Wow, you can't hide mistakes with plastic, can you? It's like working with glass.
No,
none.
You had to be good at it, really.
What was the name of your business?
Precision Acrylics.
Precision?
Precision.
Hint.
Yeah, right.
I love that, but it's so important.
Yeah.
Because everything has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's just created. Purpose precedes production. So things that just don't appear.
Mm-hmm.
I think about, you know, Apple products that they're storming. You know, they just released the iPad mini.
Right.
Sold another 3 million or so of those.
Right.
But, you know, people often wonder, what is this, you know, why are they so successful? Why is this Apple product, no matter in this particular economy, people are still spending, you know, a pretty relatively, you know, it's not cheap for this product.
Right.
And I came across I don't know if it was a book or an article that I read about Apple, but did you know, listen to this, they actually, besides the research that's involved in their product, and even the person who's not an Apple fan has to admit that their product is really second to none. It's not a chintzy product at all. It's,
I mean, top notch.
And they go great into detail about how they produce this stuff. I mean, it's just like, you look at their video and go, amazing. You know what I mean? Amazing. But they actually researched, get this, how to package their phone, let's say, or their iPad, whatever they're packaging, so that the customer has the most amazing experience when they're opening a box.
Yeah, their packaging is pretty, it's good. It's nice. It's almost, I mean, like, I don't even want to throw it away. Matter of fact, I've got one of their phones, and I still have the box it came in.
I do too. Yeah,
so it's so pretty. I don't want to throw it away.
Isn't that hilarious? Though? Yeah. I mean, it's like, think about it. Their instructions. We're talking today
everything
about
has how its some, own compartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, how somebody packages something, but they do it in kind of such a cool, I don't know, it's just kind of hard to describe it, but such a cool, neat way.
It's just quality.
Yeah.
It's just top notch quality.
And so they even went to that much of a detail
so
that when you open this product of quality, you're just not stuffed with peanut filler and you know, stuff rattling all over the place.
Right, right.
But it's almost like you're...
It's not just some brown cardboard box, you know, it's a lot of thought went into it.
And you're going through layers too, but I thought that was just very interesting, the fact that they would, and they go through like tons of boxes and tons of models, and I mean, you should see it. It's like a whole production just on how to package it, not just to package it, but to package it so that the customer has an experience, you know, an overwhelming experience when they open their product.
Yeah.
And look at all the things around in your home.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about, my goodness, if that much detail and attention goes to a product that goes on the market, imagine. The detail and the thought that God has about every single person.
Exactly.
That your very hairs of your head are numbered by God.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned that we have a generation there that doesn't doesn't have a purpose. I'm concerned that they have a purpose that they don't know what their purpose is.
Right.
You know, our young people, we've got a purpose for our young people.
Right.
You know, I don't know about you. I mean, when I was young, I had so much uncertainty when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I didn't have a relationship with God. I mean, I knew of God. I didn't know God.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember just having great uncertainty in my life. Like, what am I going to do? And mm-hmm. I knew at a young age, I wasn't going to be a rocket scientist. I figured that out about the fifth grade.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like, I'm not going to be a doctor. I could just, I knew that already. I knew
not going to be a lawyer. No, yep. That's not going to happen.
No, not here. Not here.
That would require reading a lot of books.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't like doing that. I was almost amazed at the kids that got straight A's and didn't study. I'm like,
I know.
Chris.
That's funny. Those straight A's didn't hear.
Yeah, straight A when you went to school, right?
Yeah. Right. Really, I did goof when I was there, but
when he showed up.
You know, I got show up more than
when he went smoking his Bible. Yeah.
Well, you know.
But did you? I mean, doesn't that make?
Yeah,
I mean, you think that's, about it, it's like, oh my,
that's amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember, you know, when I was in school, you know, I'd even have this friend of mine who sat next to me in class, who, you know, he would sleep through class, and then, you know, like 10 minutes before he'd wake up, he'd copy all my work. And
oh, my
God. I'm serious.
Really?
I'm serious.
He'd wake up and copy your stuff.
He passed.
And you didn't. No, I'm kidding.
No, but it's, you know, serious, you know, it's very important having, you know, like you're talking about, having vision for life, you know, knowing that mm-hmm. you have a purpose in life. Growing up, I never... You know, like you were saying, John, I didn't have a purpose. I didn't see my purpose. In fact, you know, I couldn't see beyond, like, you know, living a very long life. I never thought I would. I just, I could never see it, you know.
Right.
And I think that stems from not having somebody in your life speaking into your life to encourage you to think about, you know, future. What are you going to do in your future? You know, I never had that. And so that's, you know, so that just leads you to, you know, having... You know, that role model in your life, a father figure in your life that's going to pour what's inside of him to pour it inside of you so that you do have a vision. You know, like you said, you know, God created us with purpose. He has something in mind, mm-hmm. you know, but that's going to come down to who's speaking into your life here on earth.
That's right.
You know, which okay. is supposed to be our natural father, our earthly father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so right, and so having the lack of that, you know, many of the, you know, like the concern of the younger generation today, there's, you know, 35, 36 million fatherless homes in America, you know, we've talked about for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that younger generation that you're talking about, because of the lack of fathers, have no vision.
Uh-huh.
You know, they mm-hmm. they see no purpose for their life.
No destiny. It's right. just so true what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's like a visionless generation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they would walk around with t-shirts that say worthless.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what they think of themselves.
On their vehicles and, it's sad. It's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I believe that what we're even doing today is even the fact that we're talking about it and we're sharing about it. The fact that Billy Graham is a light, Reverend mm-hmm. Billy Graham is a light.
Right. Great
example. To the world, saying mm-hmm. at 94 years old, I'm not looking to expire or retire. I'm looking to refire. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Is that what he said?
I'm just saying.
I was like, man, you go, man.
I said, yeah, but you could almost hear him say that, you know.
Yeah, right.
But you know, it's like get up and go. What do you mean? If at 94,
right.
You're talking about purpose. You're talking about making plans not for your funeral. I mean, people are making plans for their funeral.
Yeah,
I want these chairs and play this song and make sure you have these flowers. I'm like, dude, you're 50. What's, you know, like, you got plenty of life left.
Right. It also makes me think about, you know, this is the role of the church. You know, that's what we're, the role of the church is supposed to be, you know, is when we see, you know, our younger generation that's struggling out there, is for us, you know, to pick up that slack, you mm-hmm. know, to be able to speak into these young men and young women's lives, you know, so,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, where's the church doing that? The church needs to step up and recognize what's going on and do something about it.
That's good. Well, you know, for say my people perish for lack of knowledge, mm-hmm. you know, and a lack of vision. And so casting vision and teaching and preaching and sharing God's word mm-hmm. oftentimes helps people to ignite themselves to realize, you know what, I do have a purpose. In fact, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans mm-hmm. I have for you," declares the Lord.
All right.
"Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and the future." Mm-hmm. Man, I remember the first time I heard that scripture, I was like, hold yeah. up, wait a minute.
Right, right. Are you talking to me? Are
yeah,
you
wait sure? a second. Is that in the Bible? You're going to have to show me that.
Right.
You know, like, where is that in the Bible? Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. You know, I when I was younger, I didn't have purpose. And then when I started going to college, it's like all of a sudden, I'm like, I got to do something, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm like, the biggest driving motivation in my life at that time was like, I didn't want to be poor. You're like, been there, done that. Don't want to be visit that no more. I'm like,
yeah, right.
That was my biggest motivation. So I went to college. I think I got started. He was like, oh, mm-hmm. I got to go do something. Got to get an education. That's what they keep telling me. Get an education. It's like, oh, my yeah. goodness. And so I just, you know, went along with everybody else. This college is the next step, you know?
Right.
And I'm not saying that college is bad. I'm just saying that's not the only way to learn. There's a lot of people that have yeah. that have a college education. You're just like, really? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. give me some wisdom. You need, you know, it's like you need yeah. a whole lot more than just a paper and just, you yeah. know, go through some things. And we have a, and I don't want to get into all that, but an inordinate, you know, it's amazing how some people get some respect because they have a college degree, and some people just get looked down because they don't. It's like, wait a second. You know, it's like, did you know the person who got a college degree doesn't know how to spell?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like,
has no common sense.
Yeah. Let's get this all together. Let's balance this thing out. But later on in my life, I was just, you know, when I was going to college, working and trying to, you know, do this stuff and trying to think like I think a lot of people do, that my, mm-hmm. my destiny, my purpose is in a job.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out that, wait a minute, God, you have a plan for me? You have a destiny for me?
All right.
You know, that I'm not a mistake in that
mm-hmm.
this was, you know, all part of your divine providence, and your hand has been involved in my life some way or the other all along the way. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And I think that's an eye-opener for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
You know, God does have a plan for you. The way you walk and talk and breathe and look and act, you know, you're not an accident.
That's right.
You're not, you know, there's destiny mm-hmm. in your life. And so when I started to realize, I could pull back and say, wait a minute,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to make this thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our best attempts to try to do something oftentimes is like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a whole lot easier when I realized, well, why don't I just discover, since purpose precedes production,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't create or produce myself,
mm-hmm.
you know,
all right.
Why not just ask God, what do you want to do with me?
Right, exactly.
What do you want to do with me?
I can tell you from first-hand experience. I mean, that's exactly how God's trained me up. You know, mm-hmm. I've had people ask me, so where did you get your training to do what you do? You know what yeah. I tell them?
What?
I went to the University of the Holy Spirit. That's
wow.
That was my school.
Yeah.
You know, firsthand. You know, I just said, God, I don't know how to do this, but I know you do. Teach me. How do I do this?
That's right.
Help me figure this out.
And that's amazing.
And he does every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
And that's amazing because I know you personally.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I've
yeah.
known you for many, many, many years. And all the stuff, the technical stuff that you know, all the stuff that you know, I know. I mean, the truth is that, I mean, let's just get it out right now. Chris, go ahead. We're going to talk about it. All right. We're going to talk about it. Don't get nervous. Pat didn't even know how to turn on a computer.
That's the truth. That is the truth. I was so scared of it. It sat on my dining room table probably for a week. I had to call Greg. I said, hey, can you come over here and help me turn this thing on? Because I don't have a clue.
Isn't that amazing? Today, you build websites. And that means like you're all
and
over
he's building them. Computers.
Right.
Didn't know how to turn one on, but now he builds them.
Right. And then also went to Via Venue, which obviously that's
absolutely
Lion Fellowship University. So also went through that for even more training.
Absolutely.
Know? So God's trained me up, man. I'll tell you what.
Yeah. And I want to encourage you. I mean, listen, God has a destiny. He has a plan for you. And if you don't know him, the first thing is that, you know, man's destiny and purpose is to know God. That's man's chief end. Listen,
right.
if you if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not living life. Mm-hmm. You're really not. You know, I know there was such a stark contrast, such a just a night and day difference from not knowing Jesus, you know what I'm saying, and how my life was after I met Jesus. I mean, it's like mm-hmm. night and day. Mm-hmm. Nope. And I would even call while I was just, it's like, oh, it's just existing. Mm-hmm. And like many people are, they're pushing through. I often think about the Dunkin' Donuts commercial when the guy gets up and says, time to make the donuts.
Like, I remember that.
Yeah, my heart breaks. I can relate to that. There's many people today that are working so hard, man. They're paying bills. They're trying to do the very best that they can to take care of their family and to keep peace in their home and to raise children. And let me tell you something. It's challenging when you're serving God. It's impossible when you're not.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you need
I've tried that. It doesn't work.
You need every ounce of prayer. You need every...
Oh, my gosh.
So,
meaning when before I knew God, it was just a mess, absolute mess.
It always is, isn't it?
I screwed it all up, but God fixed it. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, he does a great job of taking our mess and fixing it. It's like a bad tangled knot. Mm-hmm. He's always unpulling the knot to come with the best possible outcome. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
for
exactly.
Your tangled shoelace, and he's really, really good at that. But we're talking about destiny. We're talking about purpose. We're talking about Dr. Graham that at 94 years old, he's not looking to retire, expire, right? He's looking to refire. He's looking to live life with destiny to the last breath. And I encourage you listening today, you're saying, you know what? I'm hearing you guys. This is, you know, I'm just working a job. And listen, you got to take care of your job, but your job's not your purpose.
Right.
Your job is where you carry out your purpose.
Right.
Your job's not your purpose. Come on.
Right.
It's where you, and that's a mistake that just sometimes education and schools, and we lift up a job and we lift up a career. You know, there's some people I wouldn't switch out a career for.
Right.
You know, because it's like, dude, you have a what seemingly looks like a great career, but your life is in shambles. You know, your life is not where it needs to be. You got family, you got stuff, but it's not where it's at. God has destiny. God has a purpose. And he wants to reveal it to you. Your job is where you live that out. And it's to glorify God. It's to glorify God in all you do. You know, God has anointed us and he's appointed us. The Bible says God's called us to bear fruit, good fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're listening today and you're saying, you know what? I want my life to matter. I want to live for the glory of God. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters who you do it for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right. You know, John, that reminds me of where I was at there for a time. Mm-hmm. That, you know, always, you know, before I came to know the Lord, you know, I always worked, you know, I worked to work. You know, I thought that, you know, that was my life. That's what I had to do. You know, that's all that, you know, consumed me. I worked from sun up, sun down, you know, and even shortly after I came to the Lord, that's where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, my whole life consumed work. You know, I was working a job that I never knew when I was going to get off. And then, and so, you know, I couldn't plan anything in my life because that was my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
But then it was just like one day there was this light bulb that went off. You know, I mean, it's a long, you know, it's kind of
God
a long drawn out story. But yeah, God spoke to me through this particular situation at work. You know, it's like, wait a minute. You know, I work so that I can live. I'm not supposed to live to work.
Oh, wow. Say that again.
Twice?
You might lose it. No, come on. That's good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't live to work. I work so that I can live.
That's awesome.
You know, and that was just a huge revelation, you know, because, you know, my family was struggling at the time. You know, I was never there. My children were struggling because I wasn't there. But then, you know, like I said, it was just like this mega pop revelation that God gave me one day.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately I put in my 2-week notice where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, this isn't worth it.
Right.
You know, because, you know, I couldn't do anything for God. Couldn't do anything for my family.
Right.
Because I wasn't there. I wasn't available.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And it's important because your family needs you. You know, you're not just a paycheck. You're a father, you're a husband, you're a leader in your home. Your family needs you. But you know what? God has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that alone Just that alone, knowing that God has a purpose for you, is for you to know him and to make him known and for you to glorify him in all that you do. It'll take your whole existence of what seemingly appears a meaningless existence, because I've been there, to realize that no matter what you're doing in life, no matter what you're, it's, you know what, I'm going to do this to the glory of God. But you first got to know him. You first got to accept him in your heart. You first got to make him Lord. And when you do that, a whole world of possibilities opens up to you. A whole world of things. And let me tell you, if you're a believer today and you're saying, you know, I hear you, I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game. You know, so you're tired of sitting, you want to get in the game. You want to do something for God. Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU. VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, .org, and explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religion's made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God. But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught. And it's not just a university. VFNU is not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed God. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom, and all focused on the original intent of the church and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what he has in store for you. Dr. Reverend Billy Graham, 94 years old, and still interested in seeking God's will, seeking God's purpose for his life. He's not looking to retire. He's looking to continue to have his life, to have as much fruit as possible for God. And that's where we need to be.
That's right.
I'm telling you, that's where we need to be. And one of the things that we talked about was talking about you can't find your true destiny, your true purpose outside of God.
That's right.
And oftentimes, people that don't know God, they think that their destiny and their purpose is their job.
Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't. Your job is just where you fulfill your destiny. Your destiny and your purpose is in God.
Right.
It's in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and glorifying him in all you do. And your job is just a place where you fulfill your purpose.
That's right.
It's where you glorify God and you bear fruit and you lead people to the Lord. And your life and your witness and how you do your job matters tremendously before God.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole life is to give God glory. That's the purpose of your life, is to glorify him, is to reflect. Think about it. In your life, you have your family. Is God getting glory out of your family, your character, and your integrity? Is God getting any glory in those areas, in your finances, in your work? How about all the things the Lord has entrusted to you?
Mm-hmm.
You think about all this stuff. Our life is just not humdrum. God has equipped us and has surrounded us with areas of influence, with responsibilities, with things that we have direct impact on. And so the world is not supposed to, you know, revolve around us.
Right.
You know,
right.
We revolve around God.
That's right.
We'll be right back.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV. Anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Previously on the VFN Radio Program.
In fact, I was so excited to see that, and I can mention this publicly because they've announced it and released a book about it. But Bill Hybels, you know, one of the pastor of Willow Creek Church, they have a network of hundreds, thousands of churches, tens of thousands of people involved, and they've been, you know, somewhat of the pioneers of visitor-friendly or seeker-friendly church. A year ago, they were going to put all their millions of dollars into their programs that they do every year. And they decided they were going to ask themselves the question, are our programs really doing what we think we want them to do? Are they really raising up true disciples of Jesus Christ? And so they put money into actually a study and all throughout their entire network of where people are at with this. And when they brought the report into Bill Hybels, he gave the report that they brought it into him in his office, and he hung his head and began to weep. Because they found that all it's done is gotten people in the building, but it's not created true disciples. And so they've now released a book, I think it's called Reveal Now or Reveal Where Are You? And it's based on the study that they did throughout their network on asking people questions about where they are in their relationship with God. And they said that what the programs have done is raised up people that are addicted to the programs. In other words, the only way they can find God is to have the program. And so people now will even pick the church they go to as like they would pick a pair of clothing when they go to the mall. They're going shopping. Do they have this? Do they have this? Do they have this? Do they have this? Instead of where they're called. Jesus was the opposite of seeker-friendly. I mean, Jesus went to his big group of disciples and said, guess what, guys? You know, you're going to eat my flesh. You're going to drink my blood. You know, what do you think about that? And a bunch of them said, you know, this is a really hard saying. And they left. And he looked at the other guys and said, you want to leave too? He was anything but seeker-sensitive. But there is a remnant of people that are beginning to cry out for the glory of God. And when they begin to cry out for the glory of God, and the glory of God begins to come, it's going to begin to bring division in the midst of this organizational monster that we call the church. But the real church will begin to rise out of it. And I'm not saying this because we get a negative attitude towards the people that we think aren't going after the God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the glory of God comes, it begins to capture the people that are really after his heart. I want to read this to you. It's called, I'm a consumer. I'm a consumer. Nothing wrong with that. I like nice things, shiny things, techie things, tasty things, dark beers with a rich foam head. Did I mention I'm a consumer? So you want me in your church? Here's how to get me. Parking. I need lots of space for my big SUV. And it better be close to the doors. I don't want to do much walking. So if it isn't, how about a shuttle? Nice building. This is important. I'm not interested in some strip mall church that looks like it's struggling, or an old traditional church unless you've done millions in renos. I'm an upwardly model semi-professional, and I want my surroundings to reflect my importance. Proper HVAC. This isn't important, it's critical. I want to be cool when it's warm and warm when it's cool. 68 degrees Fahrenheit to 72 degrees Fahrenheit year-round. Is that too much to ask? Comfy chairs. And when I say chairs, I mean chairs. Preferably theater style, with wide armrests. Give me some space for my girth and safe distance from the other arriving consumers. Be punctual. I've already spent too much time getting me and the family ready and there for the meeting. Begin it on time. Have something cool playing on the big screens to entertain if we arrive a little early. You've got an hour. Make good use of it. I want to be in and out in no more than 75 minutes. Maybe a few more if you're serving decent coffee. Decent coffee that's free, of course. Music. Three songs up front, one fast to get us going, one mid-tempo to help us be reflective. End with a fast one that tells us how much Jesus, God, the Spirit loves us. Just please know Jesus is my boyfriend songs, okay? Announcements. Get them over after the music. Present them on your big screen so they can be done quickly. This isn't a time to stick your B team on the platform to give them some FaceTime. And unless Larry David is writing for you, avoid humor. Have the Final Cut folk edit your marketing stuff down to 15-second bites. If it works for Sony, it'll work for you. Offering. Now it's up to you where you put it. If the preacher is great, after the sermon might work better. If not, go for the money after the announcements. Maybe show some shots of starving third world kids in the last announcement. Heartstring tugs work for compassion and world vision. Why not your church? God loves a cheerful giver, and the Malachi 3 verses and the 100-fold blessing are important reminders. A good story of how tithing worked for someone would be great. No more than 90 seconds, though. Sermon, 20 minutes. Did I make myself clear? 20 minutes. 20. 20. We have the attention spans of gnats. Keep that in mind. Make it practical. If I wanted systematic theology, I would have gone to seminary. Use humor. Steal from the best if necessary. I want to leave feeling built up, and it's a bonus if I can use your jokes and stories that you told at work tomorrow. Final song. Let the band rip on the last song. Feel good, happy, clappy works here. If you want us wanting to come back for more next week. Benediction. Let the band lay back and under as you bless us. Speak multiplied blessings over us, and then do a fast pitch for whatever product you need to sell. And I did say fast pitch. And then the band amps back up. This is the place for guitar or sax solos as we head out the doors to the shuttle bus or the bookstore or the free coffee. It's okay to charge us something extra for lattes. Like I said, I'm a consumer. Oh, and a sort of a Christian. If you build this, I will come. Or so you've been told.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.